to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges, and we're really glad to be with you. This is the Common Sense Show, as you know, and we are simulcasting, yes, that's right, on KYAH out of Utah, which is our new flagship station. In addition, ladies and gentlemen, we're on Megaphone, which is a high-profile podcast distribution service, goes to Spotify and all the others. And, of course, we're on our YouTube TV channel broadcast, coming to you live, and you can see me up close and personal when you do this. And in addition to, we go on Global Star Radio Network, Red State Talk Radio. So we're getting a bigger distribution. And for this story, I'm really glad we do. As you know, we're the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and I'm on fire. Yes, we should be concerned about Iran, domestic terrorism, all the incursions that have been intercepted at the border by Homeland and also by the Border Patrol. And I've been reporting on that on the CommonSenseShow.com website. And we're going to get into a lot of these issues today. But we're going to talk mostly about free trade agreements because I find across the board that people don't understand them. And that's okay because you haven't had my experience because I had a free trade agreement tried to steal my house from me. So I got a lot of experience up close and personal, and I'm going to be sharing some of that with you, but I'm also going to be telling you what you need to know about what's coming. And we're going to have to divide this into several parts because the topic of free trade agreements is absolutely massive. Well, we're brought to you by the best storable food company in the world, Prepare with Dave. And listen, the banks are talking about, well, they're talking about troubled times ahead. The economy looks like it's having troubled times ahead. China seems like they're moving into, if not a serious recession, maybe even a depression. And that'll have an effect on us. China's threatening Taiwan. 6% of our trade comes out of Taiwan. I mean, here's the bottom line. You're either going to be prepped when the trouble hits and you'll be ready, or you're going to be scrambling like crazy because once it hits, it's too late. Food shelves are gone. First day, we saw that in Hurricane Harvey. Don't fall victim to this. We have the best storable food company in the world right now. They're offering a 2-week emergency kit, but it's for three groups. One, people that need to get started, 40% off. Okay. You don't have anything. Well, at least you got 2 weeks. You can buy multiples. That's the second group. And some people bought as many as 20 because the price is so good. It's still the same restaurant quality, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Or you can use this as a bug out kit. So we're killing three birds with one stone with a great low price. I talked the manufacturer into keeping the prices and the offer the same through this month, but it's only good as long as supplies last. Go to preparewithdave.com. Well, the concept of free trade agreements, I'm going to venture to say, and I mean this in a nice way, because we don't deal with this issue out front and in the public. Most of you know what the Council on Foreign Relations are. The Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergs, you understand the New World Order and regionalism, but you don't really understand free trade agreements as a group. Now, I'd say about a quarter of you probably have a pretty good understanding. About half of you have probably have some familiarity with it, but a lot of people just say free trade. Most people say in America, well, what's wrong with free trade? We're free and we like to trade. No. Free trade is never fair trade. And I'm going to walk you through a little history here so you can understand how we got to where we are. NAFTA. North American Free Trade Agreement. Biggest sellout of American economy ever at that point in time. And it merged trading agreements between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. And at the same time, the North American Union was running parallel to this. We'll talk about that later. So NAFTA was really bad. The policies were so bad for the northern Mexico farmers that they had no choice, for many of them, 3 million of them to be exact, almost instantly, to come north across the border where they could survive. Why did that happen? Because NAFTA catered to the communist Chinese, which weren't even in the hemisphere. They weren't even in the deal, but they created a trade imbalance between Mexico, China, and the net effect was out of business for 3 million Mexican farmers, bring them and their families north. See, a lot of people like to just to blame the immigrants, oh, they're here illegally. They don't understand what a lot of them have been through. And I'm not saying we should encourage or even allow illegal immigration. I'm saying there are real reasons why good people feel compelled to do this, because the policies of this country actually led to this event. It destroyed northern Mexico's agriculture, and it hurt our agriculture. It put many farmers out of business, and it also catered into the criminal EPA and the BLM, which put land restrictions on people. Let's talk about the San Joaquin Valley that was a direct outgrowth of NAFTA policies. Oh, we can't let you irrigate your land anymore. Why? Because there's a 2-inch smelt fish, not native to the area, but we found a few, so we're not going to let you irrigate because you might damage them. And so the San Joaquin Valley went dry. People went belly up. Oh, wait a minute. We've discovered that we can let you do that now. So, you know, people like Dianne Feinstein's husband comes in, swoops up, sells to the communist Chinese, makes tons of money on this kind of stuff. This is so criminal. Then there was the transportation aspect. Those of you along the I-35 corridor in Texas don't need me to tell you what happened. This was horrible. A firm called McClatchy was hired. They came in advance of the eminent domain proceedings that would seize land, and they bought up the local media so no one could mount a protest against what was coming. And so the I-35 corridor made its way north, and it became a NAFTA highway, and the parallel road to it could not be repaired. Anything that competed with the route of the NAFTA superhighway could not be funded by state funds for repair or expansion. So a lot of these roads just died. They weren't even travelable. And the people were given pennies on the dollar for their farms, forced off their farms. And it was interesting that I believe they gave them a 90-day period to accept an offer when it was given. And they would delay, get to the 89th day, and the person had no idea to take what they could get and move. And they lost 70, 80, sometimes 90% of the value of their land. Totally criminal and totally supported by the Texas state legislature and the governor at the time. NAFTA superhighway designed to connect and move the flow of goods and people between Mexico and Canada, traveling through the United States. I-35. Total loss of sovereignty. Now, moving forward with NAFTA, they also had something really interesting too. The control of all medicines, the control of all over-the-counter products, cough syrup, vitamin C. They tried to get this through. It didn't fly, but it's called Codex Alimentarius. I'm warning you, it's coming with the next trade agreement. Codex Alimentarius was something that said if you buy something to put into your body for any kind of medicinal reason, you have to have a prescription. That's right. You have to have a doctor's visit. So in Germany, if you want a bottle of vitamin C, 500 milligrams, 30-day supply, costs you about $100. That didn't go through, but I'm warning you, they're not done. It's a total power grab by Big Pharma. NAFTA also took away the ability for farmers to compete against foreign imports in many areas. Cheaper labor. Yeah, that's right. No tariffs. And these farmers, these poor farmers, were going belly up left and right because of NAFTA. NAFTA was a very, very bad deal for America. Well, unless you were a globalist, a banker. It allowed for the shipment of products to Mexico and also industries like Ford Motor. And they went to places like Guadalajara where they didn't have to pay $20 an hour in benefits and worry about the workplace regulations from the EEOC. they could go into Guadalajara and not have any benefits, pay $6 an hour, and have people clamoring for the jobs. Totally screwed America. Totally. Absolutely 100% screwed America and American interests. But what was it about? It was the march towards what? Globalism, the New World Order. It was to become the American, North American version of the EU, because parallel to this was the North American Union. And this was designed to combine the financial policies, the environmental policies, the transportation policies, the migration policies. All three nations had to be harmonized. Do you know there was a plan under the NAU? It was actually signed by President Bush. But there was a plan to have a currency produced called the Amero that was to replace the dollar. A-M-E-R-O. You can actually look this up on the net and see pictures of the proposed Amero. The coin actually exists. I got one of them. The Amero was to be the baseline average of the Canadian dollar, the American dollar, Federal Reserve note, and the Mexican peso. Now, at the time, the ratio between the Canadian dollar and the American dollar was about 1.8 to 1. We were the 1.8. Later, that grew to be about 3, which meant that just by combining the dollar with the Canadian dollar, you'd have lost 2/3 of your purchasing power. Let me put it to you another way. $100,000 in the bank, and it had gone to about $33,000 in value. Now, the Mexican peso was even another interesting story. The ratio then hovered around about 11 to 1, 11 pesos for a dollar. That's a huge decline. I mean, do you understand the reduction in value? So you had to reach a midpoint. And that midpoint, let's just say, was about 5.5 for the Mexican peso to American dollar. That meant that your value of your money would have gone down by 550%. There were some people that understood this in Congress and fought against it. And they stalled it, even though it became an agreement. Some of it was operationalized. Some of this, like the currency combination, was not. It would have been quite a coup if it was, because if you combine the currency, you can plug into the IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, and get equalization with other currencies. Eventually, what do you get? A digitized global currency. That's where a lot of this is headed. This is a move for political and economic and financial consolidation. So another good aspect of NAFTA. NAFTA also put restrictions on the First Amendment. So, for example, if people were shipping in bad crops, let's say listeria in whatever product, and you eat it, you could get sick and even die. If you were a farmer producing lettuce, you couldn't say something like, our lettuce is pure. There's no listeria. It's been tested. That would be considered to be a violation of the agreement, and you could be prosecuted in an international court where the Napoleonic law is in effect. In other words, when you walk into an American court today, ideally the presumption of guilt is not there. There's a presumption of innocence. Not true with these international courts where it's the old Napoleonic code. It's the presumption of guilt, and you have to prove that you are innocent. Wow. What do you think about all that? I just got warmed up about NAFTA, but why am I going back into the past? Because these elements are still here to some degree, but these elements are resurfacing. And President Trump is getting some very bad advice. But let's continue down the path. Let's go to the next agreement, shall we, after NAFTA? Then it was called CAFTA. And this is where Dave Hodges comes into the picture. My wife and I had said, you know, we're kind of tired of the crimes, the gangs, and the stuff in the city. Let's move out of the city. And we were living in central Glendale, Arizona, not too far, about 2 blocks from the city of Phoenix. and we couldn't wait to get out. So we found northwest of Phoenix, about 20 miles, way out in the middle of nowhere. We found, oh, this is really cool stuff. You can get a good house out here, get a little bit of land, and everything is good. And we thought, this is terrific. And the price was tremendous. We got probably about 40% off what we'd have paid in the city. So we ended up really, we thought, doing really well. But unfortunately, about after 3-4 months and we're in the house, we start hearing from our neighbors. You cannot build a pool. No, you can't repair that fence. No. If you have storm damage, you can't get a permit to do anything. And it became clear they were trying to force us off our land. They first said, oh, you're too close to Luke Air Force Base and should never have let you move there. Problem is, we had documents from the Air Force that approves all West Side developments, and we were an approved development signed by the base commander. But that didn't keep the people from lying that wanted to force us off our land. It's Luke. No, it wasn't. One night I'm looking at a computer screen of something called the CAFTA Superhighway, the Central American Free Trade Agreement Superhighway, and I realized, oh my gosh, the four areas that are encumbered in this state, wow, this is absolutely amazing because they all sit on a planned superhighway for CAFTA, and they're all near, somewhat near, a military base. Although in our case, we're 35 miles, air miles north of Luke Air Force Base. There were over 250,000 people between us and the base. So we knew what they were saying was a bunch of nonsense. It was a lie. And there was born, I realized, aha, I've heard of NAFTA. I know a little bit about the North American Union. And I really got into CAFTA. CAFTA was NAFTA on steroids. Everything that was in NAFTA was in CAFTA and worse. And in addition, it wasn't just Mexico, the United States, and Canada. It was also all the Central American countries, all nine of them. And what they also called for was complete migration, open borders, totally 100% open borders. And I thought, whoa, they're allowed to come here legally? I got to pay for them when they can't make a living. That's not good. So that was CAFTA. And CAFTA was the brainchild of John McCain and Ted Kennedy. What could possibly go wrong, right? Two guys like that behind that. And then we found that what they wanted to do with CAFTA was to build a superhighway right through our area. Plus, we sat on the Hassayampa Underground Water Reservoir, which is the largest in the state. And they needed that for what they wanted to be a multimodal hub to support their infrastructure for the CAFTA superhighway. And they didn't want to pay us for it. This was the reason for the property rights restrictions, because they felt they had almost two decades to force us off our land in the long term. So they just did it by denying all property rights and blaming the Air Force. Interesting, isn't it? That's how I got involved in this. And I started getting into the media, and I started chastising McCain for my troubles. I got, when I was at my other house doing a broadcast once, I got shot over the house 8 times, eyewitnesses, cops came. And then another time I'm driving home to the home out here that we're in now. And these guys tried to run me off the road. And I made it to a local fire station where I knew some of the guys because they were part of our group that was struggling against this agreement. Because I was making good on my promise that I told McCain's people at the state capitol, I'll just follow him on his campaign tour and I'll tell everybody across America what it's like to have the good senator as your senator. The Fifth Amendment doesn't exist for him. So we couldn't get a lawyer for 7.5 years. We could not get a lawyer. Every time we get a lawyer, oh, great case. Can your group raise $100,000? We'll get this and a lot of money for you. And yeah, we could probably raise that among our community of 300 families. But, oh, I'm sorry. Our guys want to be, our partners want to be judges someday. And if McCain ever got elected, that ain't going to happen. So we can't represent you. It wasn't until I had really educated my good friend Ernie Hancock, who's a important figure in the Libertarian Party here in Arizona, and Ernie helped me popularize through Freedom's Phoenix, his real good website, what was going on. And then Ernie told me once, if you do a favor for me, a little quid pro quo, I'll see what I can do to get you legal representation. So I did the quid pro quo, and he answered. And we got the Goldwater Institute, and oh boy, did they ever run for cover because they didn't want the public exposure. They dropped everything. We hope they're done. Our year of victory was 2012. We fought them for 8 years. CAFTA. They will, just like in the Trans-Texas Corridor. And I want to give a shout out when I'm telling this story to my friend Bob Dacey, owns a lot of True Value hardware stores in Austin, Texas. He used to be Alex Jones' guest host years and years and years ago. And I found him on the internet about the Trans-Texas Corridor, the NAFTA Superhighway. And I got a hold of him and I said, hey, I really need some help here. I'm fighting for our community. I had a big mouth in a meeting one night and they made me the spokesperson and I'm not really sure what to do. And he actually was the very first guest on my radio show. And Bob was very patient with my ignorance and walked me through a lot of things, made me understand a lot more things. And he really gave me my first one-on-one course on true globalism. So shout out to my friend Bob Dacey, Alex Jones, ex-guest host and owner of the great True Value hardware stores, a lot of them in the Austin, Texas area. So that was CAFTA, and there's a lot more to CAFTA. They plan all these high-speed rails and massive transportation systems and absolutely where we could really end up with 100 million people coming to this country, crushing our infrastructure's ability to respond to take care of people, draining our water, food supply, hospitals, schools. Yeah, it's you just can't dump millions of people into a country and not expect there to be an effect, no matter how good the people are. So then we go from there to look at a concept called the Free Trade Area of the Americas. Have you ever heard of that? The Free Trade Area of the Americas? FTAA? No, because it never really got off the ground. It was to include everything from just about the North Pole all the way to the southern part of South America. And it had all the provisions of NAFTA and CAFTA. I like to say the FTA was first there was NAFTA, then there was CAFTA, and America got the SHAFTA. Well, those were bad enough, don't you agree? They were trying to create an entire region, eventually blended into globalism. But there was a thing under Obama that we really need to address. And it was called the TPP. Trans-Pacific Partnership. When something is kept secret from you, would you people say it's good or bad, generally? Of course, you know, I like to surprise my wife sometimes, and she surprises me sometimes. She's better at that than I am. And, of course, we can give gifts that please and tell people we love them, and they're a complete surprise, and it's a wonderful surprise. But generally speaking in life, when things are kept secret, is it good or is it bad? Well, generally, it's bad. The TPP was not even allowed to be read by Congress. They let Paul the Rat Ryan, and I forget some congressman from Florida, his name jumps out of my head right now. Two guys got to read it and got to go back and tell Congress, oh, it's real good, just take my word for it. Why the hell do we elect anybody if they're just going to take other people's word for it? Let's just put those two guys in Congress in charge of the whole body and let's dispense with everybody else and save money on their salary, right? The TPP, Obama's brainchild. It was the marriage between the economy, not just trade, but the economy of us in 12 nations in the Pacific Rim and Asia, minus China. What? Yeah, the TPP was going to take NAFTA, CAFTA, and ultimately the FTAA, the North American Union, and take all those and consolidate them under the TPP, and that would have been a corporate dictatorship. There was a 22-person board that could have overridden the Supreme Court, Congress, the president, could actually be in charge of the military. It's essentially corporate dictatorship martial law. I'm not exaggerating when I use those terms. Those terms are very, very accurate describing the TPP. And the TPP would have taken away every civil liberty you had, would have made you subject to international tribunals for the criticisms that we do on these great forums that we have available to us, like YouTube. We couldn't have done that. They were declaring all kinds of free speech to be illegal. And fortunately, it didn't get fully passed until the good guy with the orange hair got elected. And President Trump came riding in on his white horse, and he says, aha, the TPP. No. We're not going to have a corporate dictatorship. So what we did, or what Trump did, he said, no TPP. Bye-bye. And then he started getting rid of the bad things in NAFTA and CAFTA. And he used a carrot and stick approach, and all of a sudden American manufacturing started coming back. The coal industry got revived. And we look at the auto industry, it was doing better. And all because Trump said, we're taking care of America first. And so what did we see? Well, we saw record gains in unemployment rates for blacks, for Latinos, and for females, because jobs were returning. And we saw record increases in wages for these same groups. And America going, yeah, good. It's about time. We're kind of living up to our creed about representing all the people. And most of us championed what Trump was doing and said, this is fantastic. And he was giving all kinds of tax breaks to the corporations. Oh, bad. No. Good, because they're bringing jobs. It was a quid pro quo deal the president had to make this work. But Americans really benefited from it. And, excuse me, as we look at this situation involving the elimination of the TPP and the bad parts of free trade agreements, I thought at least through this term, the president's first term, I actually thought we would be okay. I thought, okay, I know there's got to be an inevitable recession coming. The Federal Reserve, after all, was raising interest rates too high in an economically sound environment and sabotaging the economic recovery in the name of getting Trump unelected. But the economy was so strong, it didn't quite have the desired effect. But in the long term, it did have an effect and is having an effect. And that's balanced by getting out of the free trade agreements. But there is a monster that's come into the room. There is a really ugly elephant. It's the worst thing America has ever faced. It is worse than Iranian domestic terrorism. It is worse than the combined threat of Russia and China. It's worse because it promises to destroy our country legislatively. So let me just ask you a question here, because at some point in time, I'm going to come back and do a more detailed broadcast on the USMCA. And that's what I'm talking about. And some of you have been saying, Dave, why aren't you doing anything on the USMCA? Well, actually, I have mentioned it some, and I said I'm opposed to all free trade agreements in any form. I'm in favor of having tariffs and dropping the income system and going back to what we did from 1800 to 1913 when the dollar held its value. Today, a dollar is worth 3 cents from 1913 and the advent of the Federal Reserve. Get rid of the Federal Reserve, repudiate the debt with the banks. They got it through Ponzi schemes and illegal means like credit swap derivatives, and say, gone, see ya, bye-bye. And we go on the gold standard and watch America take off and thrive and become the world power again, where 50% of the world's GDP is right here in America. Good luck, rest of the world, trying to catch up with us. That's my ideal solution here. Do you like that? Well, you do, unless you're a democratic globalist. That's not fair. What about the poor little Frenchies? What about the Germans? No, who cares? Let them wallow in their socialism. They want to lie down in their excrement called socialism. Let them stink. This is the point where I come in and say, Trump was my economic savior until now. And I don't think he's forsaken the American people. I don't think he's sabotaging us. He's not the Trojan horse that I'm reading about on the net. Those are ridiculous allegations. He's doing his darndest to keep us out of war. He's shown tremendous restraint with Iran because he doesn't want a war. He doesn't want a draft. He's your kid's best friend. But this president is surrounded by treasonous traitors. Let me just give you one example from the past. The day of the Soleimani attack, hours before, the traitorous the traitorous New York Times. Sorry, I just drew a blank on them. That's just how much I despise them. I like to put them out of my conscious awareness. But they ran an article, speculation, of course. Gee, if we caught Soleimani out in the open and we had something available to take him out, would we do it? Why would they print that hours before the actual attack? Because they had leaked information. And where did the leaked information come from? The National Security Council. How do I know? Because I have sources. And what did Trump do a few days later? He fired 45 Obama holdovers to the National Security Council, who obviously leaked the intent to attack Soleimani to the New York Times, and they tried to warn the Iranians. And the Iranians weren't smart enough to pick up on it. How do you like them apples, folks? How do you like that? Would you rather have that kind of traitorous people running your country in the name of the Democratic Party and the mainstream media? Or would you rather have what Trump has brought you? You see, Trump is surrounded by treasonous traitors who keep him in the dark in many issues. He hasn't read the 1,700 pages of the USMCA, or he would not be approving it. Do you agree with me? Trump is taking tremendous hits. He's at terrible personal risk, both he and his family, for standing up for you. Well, what did one of the royal family members say today? I'll never move to America as long as Trump is there. No, what he's really saying, forget Trump. As long as Americans have their freedom and they have capitalism and can be number one in the world, I'm not moving there. Trump is merely the representation of those values that we all agree with. Now, could he do more due diligence here on the USMCA? Yes, this is why I'm doing this piece. And I'm hoping that you'll take this broadcast, whether you heard it on radio, our TV broadcast on YouTube, Megaphone with regard to our podcast, whether you hear this simulcast in any format, I'm begging you to forward this with a message for action to all the people that you elect at the federal level. We need to get the word out, and the president needs to do an executive order saying no free trade agreements. And then he needs to come back and reject this free trade agreement. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we take a look at what's actually happening with this free trade agreement, it is a disaster. It is the end of America as we know it. It's worse than the TPP, which was going to take away all governmental power and give it to a 22-person tribunal. Total corporate dictatorship with the TPP. With this, it's worse. Okay, so you're saying, okay, Dave, calm down, take a deep breath. Tell us, Dave, how it's worse, please. Okay, well, it's worse because it brings you feudalism. There's been a couple of pieces I have done on our YouTube TV channel, and we're basically saying, hey, property rights are in very big trouble in some states. Just a few days ago, I did a piece and I said urban democratic planners, most of them college professors as well, are saying you need to have all land in these city areas to be declared to be a community property. See, community, communism, same thing. Community. Now, let's say that you have a house on a quarter of an acre, just for the sake of argument. In Virginia, what they're planning to do, and this is in the legislature, folks, this is not something that they're talking about doing. There's something that they're beginning to act upon. But this is being universally espoused by these democratic, socialist, communist-oriented, democratic urban planners. And what they want to do is say, you got that one house on a quarter of an acre? I think we can fit four or five or six on there. Wait, that's my land. No, no, no. It's a collective. It's a community property. And this is what they want to declare your land to be. Now, let's go back to my deal with the CAFTA agreement. I was told this at the state capitol of Arizona, facilitated in a meeting by the late state Senator Marilyn Jarrett, who was our friend on our side, loved the Constitution. And we were told by the McCain people, the concept of the Fifth Amendment, Mr. Hodges, is changing. You're no longer really living on your own property. We have an obligation to each other climate change has forced a lot of this. And this was the nonsense that we were hearing at the state capitol back in 04 from McCain's people. This is what's come full circle. I have lived through this, and I don't come on here very often and say I am the expert on this, but I have read everything there is to read. I have also fought against this for 8 years. I've covered it as a journalist. I was a citizen victimized by this. You're not going to find very many people in America that understand these free trade agreements the way I do, and how they're intended to work, and how they intend to subvert our culture, how they intend to subvert our economy, but most of all, how they will subvert our constitutional liberties. They'll still exist on paper, but it's meaningless paper. It's paper that doesn't really exist anymore in terms of the content of the words if you let this go through. Let me give you what we're headed towards with just this one property deal. And listen, I could give you 50 examples right now covering hours of presentation about what's coming from these free trade agreements, but primarily from the USMCA. They are bringing to our shores the concept of feudalism. Now, if you're not really well versed on world history and don't know feudalism, let me describe a little bit about what feudalism was totally all about. Feudalism was basically you lived on a crappy piece of land. Your family basically had very little space to even lay their heads down. You raised all kinds of crops, but you didn't keep very much of it. If you were lucky, you got to keep just enough to feed your family, but certainly not enough to stockpile wealth. The idea then that you should have a bank account or personal property, there was no personal property owned by the average person. There were the king, the lords, the vassals, the knights, and you poor slobs. Do you know a person in feudalism never even traveled more than about 5 miles from their home? Do you know that when they went to church, it was the Catholic church, they got preached to in Latin so they couldn't understand it because their kids weren't educated and therefore the next generation wasn't educated? Everything was done for the elite. And these people were merely poor little bastards designed to make these people rich with their labor, and they benefited nothing. And they had a miserable existence. There was no freedom of speech. There was no right to defend yourself. If you were accused of something, justice was brutal and often instant. There was no legal authority you could appeal abusive treatment. The Lord wanted your daughter, he got your daughter. He wanted your wife, he got your wife. That's feudalism. And this is what the state of Virginia is bringing to its people. Everyone just focused on the guns. And listen, don't get me wrong. Anyone who gives up their guns are inviting genocide. And that's from the University of Hawaii Democide Project, decades long. University of Hawaii, right? Real researchers that have studied genocides. And they found that in the 20th century, there were 16 genocides. And every one of them was preceded by what? Fill in the blank, please. Yes, you're right. Gun confiscation. So you've got the hammer that can come down on you and the people can't respond. And then you've got them taking away your personal property rights. And then they've pretty soon you have no rights because now you've got the USMCA as the supreme law of the land. Freedom of what? There's no freedom here. There's justice. Just us and you. And we have the power. So shut up before we deal with you like the Ayatollah does the Iranian protesters. This is where this is headed, folks. This is not fear-mongering. This is pulling what's going on down to earth and connecting the dots based on past history. And I felt you had to understand the history of NAFTA, CAFTA, getting the shaft, FTA, TPP. Here we go. America is done if we don't stop this. And a lot of you aren't going to have kids to survive the next generation. Because let's talk about something else that happened that's related. Jade Helm 15, Jade Helm 16. And what did they practice for in Jade Helm? Please go to my website and put in Jade Helm 15 and Jade Helm 16. That would be thecommonsenseshow.com. And overwhelmingly, what did they practice? Against civilian rebellion. Civil war. I don't know why they call it civil war. Is there anything civil about a war? Excuse me, sir, I'd like to shoot you. Thank you very much. Civil war. No. No, civil war. Violent. Brutal. More people killed in the American Civil War of the 1860s than any other war. Why? Because all the casualties were Americans from the South or the North. We are headed down this road again. And in Jade Helm, they practiced roundups. Oh, there are no such things as FEMA camps. Really? How about looking up, again, on thecommonsenseshow.com, a government document, Army Field Manual 39.4. I'll say it again. FM 39.4. It tells you how FEMA camps are going to be organized. It also tells you that during the original phase of FEMA camps, they're going to train foreign nationals to take over. Who do you think they're going to be training? I'll give you a clue. I can tell you what color their hats are going to be. Do you know what color their hats are going to be? Their hats are going to be blue. The United Nations. Oh, how do I know? Well, the USMCA agreement comes back and it tells people that the UN controls all the inner bodies of water. That means the water under my land where I'm at, they could literally force me off. They're going to put UN personnel in there to manage it. Uh-oh, that's the foothold militarily. This is why they practiced rebellion. They actually ran an ad. And they advertised in Jade Helm 16 for people to play the role of ex-U.S. military guerrilla chieftains. Do you understand the use of the term? We're in the military, know how to shoot a gun, and we're unhappy that's going on, so they became guerrilla fighters. Guerrilla fighters against what? Against the takeover of this country. And we're seeing the beginning of it. And you're saying, well, who'd be behind such a thing in America? Well, who'd be behind such a thing is to be part of an arms deal that would send arms to our enemies. And you say, I've never heard of that. I bet you some of you out here have. Would you like me to cover it? Would you like me to give you a real clear example that's already been proven 9 times Sunday? Let's take Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, and the use of BLM, pulling uranium. This is what so many of the conflicts in the West are over land. She'd have her people go in, BLM people working for the Clinton Foundation, paid off on the side. They'd go in and extract uranium, 25% of our national total estimated, and they sold it to who? Russia. Gee, aren't we kind of almost in a warlike state? Isn't Russia working to obliterate us with their drills, hypersonic missiles and everything? And Hillary sold it to Russia. Do you know that this country in the 1950s executed Julius and Ethel Rosenberg? And what'd they execute them for? Selling nuclear secrets to the Russians. Tell me, which is worse, that or actually giving highly enriched uranium to the Russians? Oh, and who's part of this? Well, not just Hillary, who, by the way, had that money funneled back into her campaign via the Clinton Foundation, totally illegal, proven, never acted upon. The FEC won't touch her with a 10-foot pole. But who delivered the first set of highly enriched uranium to the Russians? Well, if you go to thecommonsenseshow.com, July of 2017, I published 2 documents, and now there's a third one from WikiLeaks that I published recently that actually will show you the Rosatom memo, oh, Russian, and they named Robert Mueller. Now, who is he? Persecuting, prosecuting the Russian collusion, delusion against Trump. See, they accuse you of doing what it is that they do. That's classic rules for radical principle number 13. Robert Mueller, ex-FBI director, Democrat. And who inherited that project? James Comey, Democrat. It just never stops. But that's not all. That's just one leg of this. Let me give you the modern leg of this. If you've been following my work at all here or on the commonsenseshow.com website, you will know that what's happening here with Iran and them getting possible tactical nukes, this is all through the media now, certainly getting high valued arms shipments. Where'd they come from? Ukraine, state-sponsored military arms dealers. And Zelensky promised Trump, we'll stop it. Trump said, I can't let criminal enterprise exist and give you weapon systems. See, this is why the impeachment's going on. It's to cover up the crime, because, see, Joe and Hunter Biden are at the center of these arms shipments. They're at the center of money laundering with Burisma. And along with that would go child sex trafficking, drug trafficking, and so forth. But see, that's not all. If you've been following my website on thecommonsenseshow.com, you would see I published an invitation. To what? To a dinner, $2,500 plate dinner, sponsored by the biggest Ukrainian arms dealer. For who? Adam Schiff? Nancy Pelosi? They're part of it. And then who else is also connected to this? Well, you got Mitt Romney, so it's not all Democrats, mostly Democrats. And you have all this participation into funding the rise of Iran. Of course, you don't have to go any farther than Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Gave them billions of dollars, of which they're buying arms to attack our embassies with. True? Listen, this is something I like, the Iranian people. And look at their true characters coming through now with a down jetliner, right? They're in the streets, risking their lives, saying we're not putting up with a government that does this, right? I like the Iranian people. I told you a couple days ago they were good people. Their government's out of control. It's a rogue regime. But our Democrats like to support it. Ocasio-Cortez refers to the people that attacked our embassy as protesters. Are you kidding me? Ilhan Omar, I mean, she defended Soleimani. It's fine to attack an American embassy, and the fact that he was going to attack four more, that's perfectly okay. So much for her defending the American people, right? I promised to defend the people from enemies, both foreign and domestic. Somehow she must not have got sworn in correctly. Unbelievable. I just look at this, folks, and I just say, is all lost? If we let the USMCA go through, do you understand how absolutely screwed the American people are? And I'm sorry to be so crude and blunt, but do you understand what I'm telling you? Do you get it? Because I'm not sure many people understand this. And of all the things that I cover, the free trade agreements and their impact on America is what I understand the best. Effectively, everything you do business-wise will have to be approved by the government, or should I say, the corporate government. You will have no freedom of speech. The internet will be completely regulated. You'll have keywords. I don't think Pelosi is, your service is lost. It's the Chinese social credit system on steroids. And I've only scratched the surface. How about the part with the property rights? Did that get your attention? Do you like feudalism? Do you think it'd be fun to live as a serf? All of them had scurvy, lost their teeth by they were 20. Their average lifespan was about 24, 25 years of age. Everybody else lived into their mid-40s, but not the poor serfs. And see, do you know what's going to take the place in the modern era in feudalism? For the king and his manor with his court and his lords and his vassals, do you know what they'll be? It's called transhumanism. And I was lucky enough to go to Steve Quayle's conference in Branson in 2018. And I knew a lot about transhumanism. I was one of the first ones to ever find out about it from Vance Davis, ex-NSA, who was part of his training in 1992. They didn't have a word for it called transhumanism, but that's what he described. And guess what, boys and girls? I've known about that for 27 years, but I got a real education at Steve Quayle's conference. So what I am telling you right now is that if we do not act and block this USMCA and get Trump to realize the error of his ways, because just like his National Security Council members, Obama holdovers that basically betrayed him with the New York Times leak, they're doing the same thing by obscuring key components of the USMCA. The president needs to take a night and read the 1,700 pages, and he'll say, not on my watch, baby. It's the TPP on steroids. But we've got to make this go far and wide. I hope I'm making myself crystal clear here. I hope that what I'm saying to you isn't falling on deaf ears, because we don't have much left. Now, here's one good thing. The impeachment trial could serve two purposes. One, it can expose the Bidens and everybody connected with them with these illegal dealings with Ukraine. And then Trump will be shown to be justified to have done a criminal investigation before he allowed foreign aid to go through, which is his duty under the Foreign Securities Act of 1961. The other thing that can happen here is it's delayed the USMC process. Impeachment delays the USMCA process. That's a good thing, because that gives us time to go to work to try to block it. And if we don't block this, you know that song they play at funerals, Taps? That's what they're going to be playing for America. And I can't promise you what that future is going to hold, except I will tell you this. I really believed that when they did Jade, Helm 15 and 16, they told you what was coming. FEMA camps, mass incarcerations, fighting against guerrilla forces, taking away the guns. They practiced it all in Jade, Helm 15 and 16. And that was under the Obama administration. They knew what was coming, and this was supposed to have happened with the TPP in 2016 with the election of Clinton, her taking office in 2017, and the TPP would have done what they want the USMCA to do, only this one is even worse. Oh, they even get into social and cultural prohibitions. I'm going to come back. I'll talk more about this, but I wanted to hit the points that I thought were most important to you. Do I have your attention? Do you want this republic to survive? Or do you want to be like the people that seek out a safe room for Soleimani and cry for his death while America goes down the tubes? You need to consider your actions very carefully. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Dave Hodges. I want to thank you for joining us. Again, check out preparewithdave.com, because when the crisis hits, it's going to be too late. We'll see you back here again next time. Thank you so much for joining us.